I'd like to call to order the December 18, 2018 meeting of the Gary Township Board of Supervisors. If everyone would please be so kind as to join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
The Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Joe, please have a roll call.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Dustin Engel.
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer.
Here.
Member Rick Zamuda.
Although it is posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending tonight's meeting that it is and has been the policy of the Gary Township to take record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. Also, the Board of Supervisors met in executive session prior to tonight's meeting to discuss legal and land use issues. At this time, I'd like to open the floor to visitors' public comments. Anyone wishing to address the Board of Supervisors, please approach the podium. Identify yourself by stating your name and your place of residence. And if you please try to limit your remarks to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated. Sir.
Mr. Moore, thank you. Steve King, 26 Forest Avenue. You saw me and other residents of Forest Avenue on the PPL line issue. We have other residents here in support tonight. We are unified. First and foremost, we want to thank you for the time you gave us 2 weeks ago. Very generous, and thank you for listening to us. Thank you also for going to bat for us to the extent that you're able to and helping us out. Mr. Engel, especially you, Mr. Christman, and the Township Engineering Company. We at least have the line of sight issue in play at the intersection of Forest and Sand Hill. We still believe it's a safety issue no matter where they're going to move it. We are aware that they met with some of you, I guess it was last Thursday?
Yes, Mr. Christman, last Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And just Mr. Christman.
Oh, Mr.
Yeah.
Christman.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Thursday, apparently, they were meeting also with the medical center, which we're not privy to those conversations. But I did speak to somebody at PPL who was on site, and they were in a quandary at that time as to where to move that pole. They did have people, engineers, looking down behind the house towards the medical center. So that's kind of good news, but we don't know where this is going. We are asking you, beseech you, beg you to please, you know, anything you can do to help our cause on the safety issue with that pole. I think that's the crux of it. We want you to keep doing it. We're going through other means also, anything we can do to state our case to other public agencies in this fight. Also the day after the meeting with you, next morning, about 7:30, there was one of those Ecotech excavation trucks. Don't know exactly how they work, but they were there a long time. They left, it looked like they trenched around the existing metal pole, and they also left what looks like about a 10-foot cavern between that pad that they set and the existing pole, and then there is a stake in the ground. We have no idea what that means. We don't know how to interpret that. If you can get a township engineer out, then maybe look at that. There's no pile of dirt. Apparently, this truck sucked a lot of earth up and took it away. So it almost looks like a big sinkhole. It's also only partially covered if that loose orange netting around, which is collapsing down. So they've done that. If there's any way also that you can, I don't know if you're able to facilitate any communications between PPL and the medical center, we'd appreciate that also. And then just one last thing, question for you. It's apparent that they're going to have to move that support, that foundation pad where they were going to put that very large pole. That's very deep. I think that's about 10 feet deep, concrete. I know the township's big on permeability issues, especially when residents go to make improvements to their homes and their yards. That intersection, even though the stormwater has improved greatly, is still prone to water accumulation and some flooding during heavy rains. I'd like to know if PPL is addressed or you've addressed with PPL remediation when they bring that pad up. Because that's an 8-foot diameter pad. Who knows how deep, I don't know how many yards of concrete they would have poured in there. But we'd certainly like to see that remediated properly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. King. And Chris, could you follow up on the holes?
Sure.
On the corner right there near the concrete.
Chuck, do you have anything to add to that? Is it subject to an MPD yes, permit? Or?
Under the PUC, there's been legislation, and under the PUC, there's been legislation that local law does not apply to utilities. And that's, John and I spoke about that, and that's the way that we're proceeding. The other portion of this project, the ENS is done by the County Conservation District, and the DEP addresses those issues. Our stormwater ordinance specifically excludes utilities from them. So far as a gaping hole, I did write that down just for a property maintenance safety issue.
Yes.
Safety issue.
Right. Thank you. Mr. Moyer.
I have four issues I want to bring up. One is, I want to know why you people are putting this tax, more taxes on us as far as the township. I think you should have compensated pretty well. I always thought that this township was the best around, but they're getting tax happy. I want to know why they're getting tax happy. Is it that you guys need so much money and all? Because I'll tell you what, I know they're not doing their job. The second thing is, I had damage to my house. It was over $5,000. He knows all about it. He has a paperwork. I even gave it to him. Nothing's been here. It is since February. Nothing done about that. This township is not doing their jobs. Another thing is, Stoffer's Church Road, if you know where that is, there's potholes there. You used to spend about a couple weeks, you had to set down because he's put a piece in there new. Well, it's like a washboard. That's a poor job what you did out here. I don't know how much money you spent, but that is a poor job. And up in my lane, there's potholes that big. I called in here a couple weeks ago, they never fixed them holes. Are they that busy they can't go out and fix a hole like that? Why can't they do something? Nobody's doing anything when you call. Or is it just because it's me calling? There's a hole there. Why don't they fix it? Everybody else can go in it. The same way the damage to my house. That was done back in February. All that money. I spent $5,000 for that window and curtains and stuff. Nobody did anything about it. There's nobody getting. Why does it take so long to get something done?
Mr. Moyer, just so the record is clear, could you state your name and your address so we can.
My name is Larry Moyer. If you forget my name, just think of the old term.
I don't forget your name, sir.
Okay.
But your address, sir.
550 Stoffer's Church Road.
Okay.
I live back a lane. It's about 1,600 feet, and it's macadamized.
Thank you.
Bob, are we clear on the, do you know which potholes we're talking about?
We haven't been out on potholes because our crews have been doing leaves. We're finishing up on that. As soon as we get, and we're coming to the end of that, and then we'll start addressing the potholes.
Did you get a notice, though, about the complaint to fix that pothole, though? Did you mark it down?
Well, if we do, Adrian, we have a list in the office of every time someone calls in for a pothole, we have a running list.
Why does it take so long?
We didn't have anybody doing any pothole work right now. All of our resources were in leaf removal.
Well, they aren't going to fix those potholes anymore.
No, I didn't say that. We're done with leaves now.
Well, it's been there for a year.
All right. Mr. Moyer, and the damage.
No, I'm done.
Mr. Moyer, the damage to your house, that was reported to, is that a police issue?
Yeah.
Chief?
Oh, yeah. State plea rock, even.
Okay.
And they said, but the Derry Township handling.
Okay.
And you know what I told them? They're not doing nothing about it. Damage to the house, I brought that up. And the taxes in the Stoffer's Church Road, I told you about that. That's disgusting how that was handled.
Thank you, Mr. Moyer.
Good evening. Jim Owens, 50 Forest Avenue. The last meeting, Christopher, you said that your hands were tied regarding the PPNL issue and there wasn't much you can do about it. Came here tonight to thank you for what you did do. I think you all did a lot, and that means a lot to us. So thank you very much. But our work's not done yet. Interesting enough, I had the same conversation with Representative Mahaffey, and he said the same thing. He said, there's not much we can do. You know, my hands are tied. Recently, I got a letter from Tom, and it is from the PUC to Tom Mahaffey and Senator DeSanto, and it's stating that if the residents wish, they can file a formal complaint with the PUC, and that would start a judicial process. Well, at Forest Avenue, we wish, and we will file a formal complaint. However, I came here tonight to ask you to consider also filing a formal complaint. You know, the way we feel is we were face slammed to the ground and raped by PPNL. It's very personal. And we think these electric poles, I've never seen anything like this in a residential community. They're rusty relics and they're gigantic. They're turning the sweetest place on earth into Batman's Gotham City. So I think it's important that we all rally together, that we come together, circle the wagons, and make this a formal protest. So I'm going to leave you with this letter and the form to file a complaint on behalf of not just Forest Avenue, but all the constituents of Hershey who will be impacted by this. And, I mean, already they're on Sand Hill Road. They're destroying the bike hiking trail. And, I mean,
not usable.
Yeah, whether that ever gets fixed or not, I don't know. But if it does, we'll be walking our children. We'll be biking on that road with these rusty relics looming over us. It's not going to be the same anymore. It's going to be, look very depressing and very stark. Anyway.
Do you have those letters electronically that you could send to
I
us?
Do.
Okay, if you could forward them.
I will. That'd be great. I will do that, and I'll give you this, too.
He's running for office. Good evening. Wayne Rivers, 815 Cypress Court. I've got some prepared remarks here that I'd like to read through for all of you and those in attendance. I am a member of a new group that started out as 9 local residents in a neighbor's living room 2 months ago. Since then, that group has grown to 73 distinct emails and over 100 people, counting spouses, partners, and grown adults. We're adding more each day. We have called ourselves Cars of Dairy, citizens advocating for responsible spending. We are a good representation of the township with varied experience and positions. We are not affiliated with any political party. Out of respect for the board and the commitment of time, I volunteered to speak on behalf of Cars, consisting of a number of concerns. A few more of our members asked for time to speak out specifically on issues, but they'll talk specifically about those in a minute. But in regard to your budget that you're going to be discussing tonight for 2019, we are alarmed that the board proposed a huge accumulation of debt. As you know, by law, there is a ceiling for township debt. That cap is a little over $60 million for our township. In October, we had over $22 million in debt. We're going to be adding a fire truck in excess of $1.3 million. You've asked for $350,000 more in additional spending for 2019. Then there's also the 2019 bond issue for Bullfrog Valley Road at over $2 million. Then there's the bond for the rec center at over $28 million. That would put our debt borrowing at almost $55 million. That's over 91% of the cap. During my adult life, I've always believed the definition of insanity was doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, I may have to change that thinking because I believe borrowing over 91% of our available debt is not fiscally responsible. It borders insanity. Many residents have addressed this board in regard to the new rec center. The common theme is that it's way over the top and not many people are comfortable with the spending and the revenue projections that were proposed. Many of these people will agree that something new is needed, but a $32 million center that will more than double our debt and increase our taxes that will only serve a few at the expense of many. I have spoken to people who use the rec center for swimming regularly. They've remarked, so my taxes are going to go up, my membership fees are going to go up, and I probably won't be able to get to use the facility more than I do now. This particular person told me that once in a while they have to go to Lititz to swim, they go to the Carlisle swimming facility, etc. Going on, additionally, we do not believe the capital campaign will generate the $5 million projected. The fire hall, which is a public need, is still short $1.5 million in their capital campaign, and the township is the guarantor. We understand roughly $1.5 million has been pledged so far towards the rec center. However, you can only go to the well so many times before it dries up. And we're concerned that the $5 million will not be met and therefore present another addition to the long-term debt. I'd like to put something in this area in regard to the supervisors asking the state for money toward the debt. I feel that this is also an alert for them to the fact that we're connected. We've been told that you have approached the state and asked for money. You've been turned down. I mean, how do we got to spend more money to go ask for more money and more denials? Carrying on here, I'm looking at this, that we understand why we cannot understand why our real estate taxes are being increased while there are many businesses in the township that benefit from the millions of tourists that come to this area each year. Let's face it, there's a good portion of what we already pay that supports the infrastructures for all these visitors. There cannot be a counter argument that these entities create jobs which help contribute towards the tax base. That's not true. A majority of these jobs are part-time or seasonal, and those employees are not homeowners or may not reside in the township. Why aren't we pursuing an increase in the amusement tax? All it takes is a written request for a meeting from one of the three entities, the Board of Supervisors, the Township, the School Board, or HERCO. 10 days prior to any proposed meeting, that's all it takes.
We are already in discussions.
Okay.
And if you...
We're at four and a half.
I'm sorry? I don't know how much more you have, sir.
Well, at home, there's some things that I talked about. Okay, Mr. Moyer, each time Rich gets up, you tell him that we're open to discussions. We're talking about the amusement tax. When is the letter going to be written to HERCO asking that we open up a negotiation for this amusement tax? To put the burden of so much on the residents in this room is uncalled for. When you've got this over here. So at home we call them Dad's Fun Facts. Today we're going to call them Wayne's Fun Fact. Do you know how much an admission was to Hershey Park in 1974?
No.
$5.75. And at that time we got 50 cents a ticket. Now here we are 44 years later and we get 35 cents more a ticket and prices are upwards of $70. It's not keeping pace with inflation there, is it? So
Wayne, a couple of comments if you don't sure. mind. So we do have ongoing discussions with AG&R and they've become more active lately. And one of the things that has come out recently is that even to continue that discussion, it really makes sense to quantify not just the amusement tax, but all the taxes and how AG&R is, how much they contribute totally to the township. And we're working on that schedule and we want to keep that schedule up to date so that we can use it in negotiations and so residents can see exactly what is coming in. So that's something that's in the works and that's going to be helpful,
okay,
for all of us. The other thing is, I think it makes sense four cars, and we haven't discussed this, but for us to sit down in the very near future, because there's certain things that you're quoting that need to be updated. The borrowing capacity, the amount pledged for the capital campaign. So in other words, I'm not discouraging what you guys are doing at all. I'm just saying that I think it would be good if you got the most recent numbers from us. So that
hey, we're pulling all this off the website, Mr. Engel. So.
No, I know, Wayne, and yeah. I'm Justin, Wayne. But I think it would be good. The things are changing. We just got an update on the capital campaign within the last week. That it's up to.
Well, you know. No, sorry to interrupt you, but and I do appreciate what you're saying with regards to the capital campaign. I know I've explained this at prior meetings, but we're not in a position to announce the exact dollar amount that we're at because we're in. If anyone's ever done fundraising, they know that there's a silent lead phase of a campaign before you get to the public phase. So come March or April, I'll be screaming from the top of the building where we are. But for now, we don't want to do that and do anything that's detrimental to our fundraising efforts. But I can tell you we're in much better shape than when we reported initially after our two lead gifts that we got.
So that's just one piece of it. But there are other things that I think that would be helpful if we have an open dialogue. So.
And Justin, I'm all for that. The group is all for that because we're stronger as a village when we work together.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things going on. Like I said, our experience is varied. There's a lot of folks that have some good things to say, but we need to act fiscally responsible when it comes to a lot of this stuff. And when it comes to the amusement tax dialogue, we're not proposing that you just go in there and say, hey, we want another 20 cents, 50 cents, or a dollar. Instead of opening up this thing every year, if that's what the citizens want to do, just put in a flat percentage. So when they raise their prices, we get more into the coffers. Okay?
I can't say that I disagree.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, the last thing I was supposed to say, so that we didn't take up as much of your time, was everybody in this room that is here because of this topic and issue about fiscal spending and responsibility, please take a stand so you can be recognized. Thank you.
Job well done.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Certainly, we encourage you all to stay involved and informed, and we've got open board seats coming up and also open committee seats, so anyone who's really interested in serving and dealing with us 7 days a week, we encourage you to get more involved.
Thank you. And I also have prepared remarks so that I would stay in my 3 minutes. My name is Jean Candra. I live at 218 West Arriba in Hershey. And I'd like to point out that there's probably one thing we all have in common here tonight, and that's we would all like to see a new community rec center. But many in this room feel not at any cost. Our biggest concern with the currently proposed community center is the huge debt that it represents to the folks in our town. We believe there is a more reasonable plan and associated lower costs to a revised plan. In addition to the debt service payments, we're also concerned about the ongoing annual losses from this non-essential operation that, according to your first business plan, cannot pay for itself. Essentially, you intend to borrow $27 million for a facility that will save only $200,000 in bottom-line losses per year, going from a loss of $700,000 per year to a loss of only $500,000 per year. It will take many, many years at that annual savings to pay off the debt. There are other examples of community and recreation centers who have been able to break even or close to it. For example, the Lower Paxton Friendship Center. This center operates with a very small contribution from the township. It's not unreasonable for taxpayers to expect an income-generating, non-essential service pay for itself. Although some on the board see the proposed tax increase for 2019 to be minor, I have spoken to several neighbors on my street who, in fact, will feel this increase. Some of them are elderly and struggling to meet their current taxes, wondering and worrying about whether or how long they can afford to stay in their homes. Sadly, I have spoken with many neighbors on my street and tried to convince them to come to the meeting tonight and express their concerns about the budget and the proposed rec center. They responded, "Jean, how long have you lived here?" And I said, "Well, 26 years. And they said, "Well, we've lived here longer than you have. And one thing you will come to understand is that if the local government that the local government here will build whatever they want with or without our approval.
Amen.
Whether their statement is true or not, it's a shame that it is a perception of powerlessness by some in our community. CAR's citizens do not feel powerless, and we will continue to gather accurate information to bring forward to the community. We are happy to assist you as unpaid resources as you move forward on behalf of our town, and we thank you for all of your hard work. With that said, I have several questions related to costs of the community center which impact the budget. And the first is, how can you justify to taxpayers that five rec center employees will still receive full pay and benefits during a total 15-month rec center shutdown, and they will not be laid off?
Well, I was going to say, Matt, would you like to address this?
Because we're paying the bill.
Well, hold on. Mr. Moyer, we're trying to get the questions answered. Matt, you could explain it better why you need a staff?
Sure, I can do that. And during the recent budget presentation, I indicated we are laying off all of our part-time staff, mm-hmm. obviously, for the 14-month duration. Our full-time staff are going to remain on the payroll. As you can imagine, opening a facility that we're talking about this evening takes a lot of planning in terms of programs to ensure that we do reach those revenue projections. Standard operating procedures, emergency procedures, everything that goes into properly operating a public facility. Staff training, life-saving skills for our lifeguards, learning the new facilities. So there's going to be a lot that goes into that 14 months.
Probably over 15 to 18,000 hours, and I don't know what the cost is represented by that five people over 15 months.
You also think, Matt, I'm sorry, but that there's other things outside of the current recreation center that our Parks and Recreation Department does. I mean, from the Easter egg hunts to the tree lightings to maintaining the bicycle trails and the frisbee golf, and Matt, I can't even list them all. I mean, there are many, many things that department takes care of way beyond the recreation center.
In the proposed budget for the new facility, do you include buffer dollars for inevitable change orders? And if so, how much? If not, how will they be paid for? And I don't want to take up other people's time. And the other question I was going to ask that is, as of today, are you able to tell us how much has been raised for the capital campaign? As of 12/18/18, you cannot tell us. I know that a revised business plan is to be drafted and would like to know when it will be available.
Hopefully within the next 45 days.
45 days, and that will hopefully be put on the website?
It will be, and hopefully, you know, these things can sometimes take longer, but we're actively engaged with the firm to do that. So, and then there was a question before change orders.
Change orders.
Yeah, there are building contingencies in the
project. What percentage of the budget is for change orders?
Typically with a project, the contingencies shrink as you get further into the design and closer to bidding. Are we at 5% now, Matt?
5%.
Yeah, 5%. But in other words, earlier in the design process, it was 10%, but that shrinks as you know you're more certain about what you're building. So.
Thank you. Happy holidays to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Robert Weil. I live at 11808 38 Drive in Hummelstown, which is a zone redevelopment. I'd like to be prepared to say, but I was also at the CARS meeting. In the 12 years that I've owned my home in Stone Creek development, my property taxes have gone up from $2,600 to $3,400, which is an annual rise or a 31% increase in 12 years. That's outrageous. My school taxes have gone up 18% in that same period of time. When you combine those two, that represents a 22% increase in my taxes in 12 years. I can see now why people are forced to sell their homes, some of them third-generation homeowners, where they have to sell their home because they can't afford their taxes. Tax freedom day, for those of you not familiar with that term, is the day in which you stop working for the federal government and you start working for yourself. The projected tax freedom day in this nation for federal taxes is April 24th, 2018. If this 15% tax increase goes through a $100,000 assessed value of my home, that will push my tax freedom day back by 1.5 days. That means I'm working 1.5 extra day for the government instead of for myself. That may seem like a small amount to you, but it's not a small amount to me. Property taxes affect the wealthy disproportionately. If you own a large home, you pay more to use the same pool as those smaller homes or apartment dwellers. Yet the wealthy are more likely to have their own pools or belong to a country club, so paying to support two pools. How is that fair? And why should we pay for the Hershey Aquatic Club self-interest? It's not even all Derry Township residents. Let them have a bake sale for all I care. How about we go to Herco and we say to Herco, you know what? You guys not adverse to raising your prices. When I moved here in 1988, the cost of parking was $1. This year will be $16. That is a 1,500% tax percentage increase, which works out to 50% per annum. That's well above the rate of inflation, which is averaging about 2.4%. So don't tell me they're adverse to raising their costs. If you have $2 per ticket, which for this year's estimate would be $69 per day pass, that's a 1.5% increase of their entry fee. That's much better than assessing every township resident 15% to increase their fee by only 2%. Plus, of the 1 million annual visitors they generate regularly, this costs an infrastructure cost to the roads, to the sewers, to the water treatment facilities, especially with the new massive water park they're building, to the bridges of our township, etc. How about Herco be good stewards of our community and journalists who support them, provide them with workers for the mega profitable park? How about they get back to our community a little bit? We're giving them so much. I'm also concerned about the spending limit. We said at $55 million, which represents 91% of the $6 million we're allowed to. I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I don't know what accounting class you took in school, but to me, that sounds a little bit risky to me. Because what happens if we have another incident like Tropical Storm Lee, which you recall from September 2011, which wiped away roads and flooded the May Street intersection? What's going to happen? Where are we going to get the money to fix that? The Rec Center's capital campaign has fallen short of the $5 million that we wanted, that you set out to gain. I believe we're probably roughly about half that amount, which tells you there's a total lack of interest in this community and this Rec Center. Otherwise, you would have gotten that money. Furthermore, how are we going to afford the new schools or the additions to existing schools that are going to be needed as a direct result of the West End project, which I am told will increase the township residency number by more than people who live in Campbelltown? When more people add to this township than Campbelltown has residents, Campbelltown does not have its own school district, they're merged with Palmyra. This is also told to be such a large development that will be a town within a town and will be assigned its own zip code. If that will be absorbed into our current school taxes, how are we going to pay for this? Where's the money coming from? Does anybody have an answer up here? Where's the money coming from that?
We actually had a pretty extensive presentation on the West End, and the statistics and the indications look like we're going to have actually a seven-figure surplus in revenue for that.
So the West End is going through the master plan process that is new to the township. It's a very exhaustive process where they have to do tax studies. They have to submit tax studies to us, to the school district. And so the school district is well aware of that project. And to my knowledge, the school district believes that they have capacity. So I don't think there's any new schools planned as part of that project.
Anything else, Doctor?
No. My point is, one of the arguments that's been proffered is that instead of losing $800,000 a year to maintain the current structure, we're going to spend $32 million when we lose only $500,000 a year. Now, again, accounting tells me that to spend $32 million to save $50,000 a year just does not make any fiscal sense to me. If you listen to one thing that I'm saying here tonight, listen to this one statement. It's not about the best facility that money can buy. What it ought to be about is building the best facility that our residents can afford. And we simply cannot afford a $32 million edifice that people in the township will ever benefit from. And I have a question for the Board of Supervisors that maybe you don't know the answer to. How many current township residents are annual members of the with a current rank senator.
Matt, do you have a number off the top of your head?
There's about about 3,000 members for the town.
And according to the 2010 census, between Hamilton and Derry and Hershey, there are 20,000 residents. That represents about 12% of the population during the rec center. That's not a strikingly large number. That means this rec center is not wanted. I mean, look at the numbers. Why are you going to put 12% of the population and putting the tax burden on 100% of the population? That just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you very much for your time.
Hi, my name is Carol O'Hara, and I live out in South Point. I don't have much new to say other than my co-members of CARS have already said. However, the one thing that I really wish we could have done, or the township could have done, was put the rec center on a referendum. I think you would have gotten a true assessment of what the people of Derry Township are thinking of what they could afford. I did come across a quote when there was a status update on October 5th of 2018, and the quote was, "Our residents are educated and well-meaning, but they are not involved in the daily operations of the township and are not familiar with the details of this project or others. It's unwise to put this major decision that impacts our community today and for decades up to a vote." I find that very arrogant and very paternalistic.
Where did that quote come from?
That came from an update on your
website.
On your website.
So that came from the supervisors?
Yes. Apparently so.
That's on the document. Okay.
Yeah. Very, I won't repeat what I just said, but it's really not good. I think you would have gotten more buy-in had you looked. We are not, I think probably Derry Township is one of the brightest population I have ever lived in, and I've lived in several areas. So please do not dumb us down. And I just want to end because I would just be repeating what my colleagues have been saying. But on Saturday, I attended Wreaths Across America up at Indiantown Gap. It was a wonderful experience. However, they did quote Abraham Lincoln, and they said that government is to be of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I am feeling with this project, it is none of those. And for the people, maybe for a small minority, but not for the majority. But yet, our taxes are going up, and we are going to be stressed because of it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Bridget Heinel. I live 12 Forest Avenue in Hershey. Thank you for your time last week when we came a couple weeks ago at PP&L Pools. An issue I don't think that everyone is aware of is where this pool was placed is at the end of the walking path, the Jonathan Eshman walking path that was installed in Derry Township because a child in our township had passed away. It was my son's classmate. And this pool was will block any child. And they have taken that down. But if this has been in the works for a year and they don't even consider this at all, I'm very concerned. How safe is it going to be? we certainly don't want to harm any children in the township. And I don't think this has really been in our township's best interest as PP&L Pool, and I don't think the safety of the children is, and that's what I'm very concerned about. And thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Bridget.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to press?
This is where
the walking path. Oh, we've all been there several times.
I think you know who I am, but I will introduce myself. I'm Jonathan M. Christ. I'm an attorney here in town. I'm a specialist in real estate development matters and tax matters. I have a master's in tax law, by the way. I think it's inevitable that this is going to happen. I mean, they're already out there. They've got the fences up around the community, so they're already starting to take it down. It's going to happen. The one thing that has really concerned me is that there has been no exploration of alternative forms of tax other than we're going to tax the residents or we're going to go beg the Commonwealth for some money. Now, there are other alternatives, and I don't know where they stand, and I don't know why anybody hasn't considered them. We have two things. This rec center is basically going to be for the tourists, which is the hotel people and the restaurant people. So how do we get revenue out of that? All right, answer first of all, on the hotel side. Currently in Dauphin County, the hotel occupancy tax is at 11%. That's 6% that goes to the Commonwealth and 5% in Dauphin County. Anybody know what the hotel tax is in Philadelphia as of today? Take a guess. 16.25%. 5-6% to the Commonwealth and 10% to the university. We could, we've got Mike Priest and we've got some people, let's get the commissioners, get us some hotel occupancy tax and dedicate it to the bonds here, which will help relieve the deficits. There's another vehicle that should be explored. It was done very well over in Allentown, and I'm sure Mr. Christman knows about it because he was ever in that area. And that is Scott Brown's baby, which used to be called, or I guess it's still called, the Neighborhood Improvement Zone. Anybody know what that is? That's where they take your sales tax, and instead of sending it to the Commonwealth, they put it back to the community for the bonds for a development project. They did it over in Allentown, and they built the minor league hockey rink out of that in downtown Allentown. And that was Scott Brown put that through. He's the Republican chairman of the Senate, I believe. Maybe we should get a neighborhood occupant zone here for Hershey and get the bonds paid for with the sales tax, which would then means that the burgers, the briskets, and the beers would help pay for our, from our tourists, would help pay for our center. But that's what we've got to do. We've got to start thinking outside the box, tax-wise, not just, let's go to the well one more time. Thank you.
I'm Bob Wolf. I live at 630 Evansville Drive here in Gary Township. I do not intend to repeat the comments of the people before. I am speaking to item A5 on the agenda, which is the adoption of the budget as well as the tax increase. Scholars teach us that people who fail to study history are bound to repeat the mistakes of the past. 25 years ago, the supervisor of this township embarked upon constructing a white elephant, which masquerades now as our public library. That construction engendered the creation of an enormous amount of debt, but more importantly, it drove a division through this community and the scar with that division in terms of increasing debt and increasing taxes has barely healed today. And this board is about to embark upon the same mistake in a different style, which the construction of the newest white elephant, the rec center. You will ignite a taxpayer revolt if you continue upon this trend and this path. And if you are saying that there are open seats in the future, there will be a number of open seats because this board will be replaced. A new board will be brought on, the taxes will be reversed, and the plans for this will be destroyed. Do not make the same mistake twice. Revamp, reduce, readjust your ambitions. Do not construct another edifice to your legacy. And instead, listen to the people who you supposedly represent and correct the path you're on. Thank you.
Linda Eyer, EYER 2321 Raleigh Road. After the township meeting on October 9th, where the plans for the recreation center were fully presented, their CARS, Citizens Advocating Reasonable Spending, began to form. We started with several people voicing concern on social media. 24 concerned citizens met at the end of October at our initial meetings. We had to cancel our November meeting because of the snow. But on October 5th, we formally elected a board of directors. I was elected president of that grassroots organization. Initially, our discussion centered on opposing the recreation center, but we soon realized that there's many issues and concerns. So we have a working mission of CARS, a grassroots organization, will encourage, promote, and create a fiscally responsible environment in Derry Township through open communication, education on the issues, transparency, and integrity without regard to political affiliation. We want to encourage cost-cutting, revenue increasing, and all the thing, and debt reduction of all the things that have been mentioned here previously. We are a diverse group of individuals. We offer our collective experiences and expertise to the township in a desire to work together. I believe Mr. Engel mentioned that. That was written before this meeting in my notes here. We are also willing to offer other resources if we can provide them. And so as the president of that organization, I make that offer to you. I believe you have my email, and I look forward to being in touch with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
My name is Patty Hamner. I live in the South Point development. I'm here because I wanted to ask you to please and beg you to please reconsider this recreation spending. It's an exorbitant amount, and it looks like it's basically to serve special interest groups, the swim team and the aquatic club. 23 years I've lived here now. Before I lived here, I lived in Southern California. We had Parks and Recreation, and we had a South Bay Swim Club. They were separate. Us in the town did not have to pay for the things that the people at the swim club wanted to do, their swim team and things like that. This Olympic swimming pool, I don't think belongs in a township. It is for entertainment. It's for competition. Why isn't this being taken upon by Hershey Entertainment and not a small town like Hershey? We're going to feel this for many, many years. A lot of us, we don't want our children to bear our mistakes or have to pay for anything like that. And we're going to hand this down to them. I think it's a huge money pit. I think, you know, you talk about building the indoor track. That's really great for kids. I mean, we have, you know, childhood obesity and things like that here. We need places for them to go and have exercise. If I read some of the documentation correctly, we took out the splash pad for kids and we left this pool. I mean, aren't we here for our children? A lot of us raised our children here. We love this town. We want to live in this town. I even talked to my husband about moving out of this town because I don't know if I want to live here anymore with something like that. That's just a huge expenditure. It's going to cause a lot more traffic. We already have traffic problems over there. Have any of you guys been trying to get across, like Fishburne or anything over there? I mean, it's terrible. We have to wait 5-7 lights to get over there. And we still, adding this is just going to add more to the burden already. And even having the children cross the street to get to the library or get to school, with something like that, with these events that are going to be held there, our children are going to be in danger. And then what about the cost of insurance to run this? If we have one accident, doesn't the insurance go up too? It just seems it's going to be costing us constantly. I want to, have any of you looked at the pool that they have over at the Hershey Lodge? It's quite lovely. Those guests get to have an awesome experience over there. Did that quote go out to the people that made that particular pool? I mean, it's really, really pretty, and it would be really nice if we could have something like that in our township. And I wanted to bring up, according to Penn Live, it was a 2015 study, so it's been some time, per the Derry Township Superintendent, Joseph McFarland, 21% of elementary school children are already receiving free or reduced cost lunches. It says here that Derry Township poverty rate is approaching 40%. Do you think any of these people are going to be able to pay the $46 fee it's going to cost to be part of the Parks and Recreation as part of the membership? And knowing that there are other gyms and local facilities that charge less for that fee, why would we go to Derry Township? I want our recreation center to be successful. I want to go there. I want to take grandchildren there. I want to enjoy it. We've enjoyed it for many, many, many years, and we still can. But it shouldn't have to come at this huge cost. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patty. Mr. Campbell.
I missed you guys last week. I had a medical emergency. much.
We missed you too, sir.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Okay, Rich Campbell, 39 Hackersville Road. First off, I just want to remind each one of you that sat there and were elected by the members of this community that you basically promised us that you would take on fiscal responsibility with the interest of the members of our community. And right now, I don't think it appears that way based on what you've been hearing. Secondly, is there anybody here from the Aquatics Club tonight? Well, I see where their interest is. So this is what I'm trying to prove here. They think they got it, so why worry about it anymore? But the bottom line is, if you take a look at the percentage in our population, how many members of the Aquatics Club are going to benefit, and how many people in the community will not? Pick an analysis, 1%, less than 1%, and we're going to spend, what, an extra $5 or $6 million for that 1%? Doesn't sound right. Secondly, what you're establishing based on your marketing plan or your business plan, if you look up the word enterprise, you're an enterprise. You're not in the business to be running a rec center and hotel funds and everything else that you're talking about generating. That's an enterprise. Look it up. So technically, it should be like the DTMA, separate, funding themselves. Rec centers should be funding itself. So look up the word enterprise, see if I'm right. And thirdly, we take a look at the number of senior citizens in this community. You're reducing the availability of services for the mower center that was going to be incorporated in there for the benefit of keeping the larger pool, or the less than 1%. How many people, have you done analysis of how many people over the age of 65 live in this community, pay taxes, and how many people participate in the mower center? They say socialization. Let's go back to the nucleus of the family. Socialization begins at home with family. Christmas, I'm not going to be sitting at the mower center. I'll be with my family. So I think we're biting off more than what we can chew. And as I said at the beginning, each and every one of you on your platform stated fiscal responsibility. Nobody is demonstrating that tonight. Thank you.
My name is Steve Seidel. I'm at 450 West Granada Avenue in the village. You know, a lot of great points here about cost. I certainly agree with those, but I'm going to change the focus here a little bit. A couple other components I think are missing from everything that's been said already that also need to be added to it. The other side of it is revenue, and the other side of it is quality of life. And what I'm seeing right now is our quality of life is going down, especially those of us who live in town, as we're getting surrounded by hotels and surrounded by other development that's a result of changes this board put in place relative to zoning. Relaxing requirements to the point that there are 5-story hotel buildings being built within feet of property lines across the street from residential homes. Ridiculous. Okay, then I find out, thank you, Mr. Everett, for your time yesterday with at least answering my questions about what I thought was going to be on the agenda today, which is the hotel being proposed now on West Charlton Avenue. Then to find out our traffic study isn't even going to be required for that. I'll be back at the next meeting when this is on the agenda. But to find out, it doesn't meet a certain threshold of trips, peak hour trips, and therefore traffic study is not required unless, I guess, the board can require it, is my understanding, but it's not automatically required for something like that, especially given that location backs up every day. You can't make a left-hand turn from there. So there's just some common sense things here that I really have to ask the board to think through some of the things that have been done, and really some of the things need to be, I think, rethought, some of the changes that have been made. You know, the impermeable percentages have gone up dramatically. I'll come back with owners next time. I didn't have time to crank all those through. But that's some quality of life things. All that traffic is going to get redirected through our neighborhood and change our quality of life, not only being just surrounded by and encroached with all the changes that have happened with the downtown overlay. It's no longer just Chocolate Avenue. It's all of Caracas, from end to end, at least as I'm concerned with the village, from Hawkersville Road all the way down to you know, where the Hershey Mansion is. All of that is now downtown core overlay. We could have the same thing we've got there right next to the Italian Lodge all over that area before long. The other part is, what are we getting for it? Someone talked about the hotel tax. I mean, at the very least, let's get something back for it. But, you know, it doesn't make up for the loss of quality of life. But at least we need to get the revenue part. So, you know, and all this stuff that's happened downtown, why isn't that helping keeping our taxes from going up? What revenue is that bringing to the township? Or what is it bringing revenue to businesses? What revenue is that bringing to the township? Has that been looked at for 2019? What is that amount? All this new development that's happened, what is that bringing to the bottom line in addition to the past? Do we know?
We do. I can't rattle it off the top of my head, but our revenue has been studied out at least 10 years in terms of West End. So we've had our consultants look at revenue so we've looked at it extensively. The only other thing I wanted to add, and I won't address all your comments, but with regard to the downtown core, we did a comp plan several years ago, as I'm sure you're aware.
And we were here to talk about that.
Yeah, and then we followed up with changes to the zoning ordinance. And what you're talking about is that downtown core overlay, and I think that we recognize that we didn't get everything right with that. And
a lot of things that need to be straightened out.
So I think that it's likely that we'll go through a process where we may look at that again in the near future.
I sure hope so, because I was here participating as well as a lot of other people in a lot of the discussions on the comp plan. Unfortunately, my personal life didn't allow me to participate when the zoning changes happened all of a sudden, and they happened very quickly. And before that point, you know, during the comprehensive plan discussions, we kept being told, oh, we're not talking zoning, we're not talking zoning, we're not talking zoning, because that comes later. And it came later, and boom, it got pushed through awfully fast, in about a year or two.
It didn't feel awfully fast to me.
From the community standpoint, you know, we're not doing this full time. Yeah. You know, I'm glad to see so many people here tonight. This isn't usually what happens.
You know, as Mr. Engel said, though, that we do realize that we need some refinements to be made, and we anticipate.
And I think that was the intention. I mean, it's that these are supposed to be living, breathing, changing documents, because your township's changing, your community's changing, and what you write one year, and Chuck, back me up, I mean, you have been here a whole lot longer than I have, but what was written 20 years ago certainly can't stand the test of time today, and even what was written 3 years ago can't stand the test of time.
Yeah. Thus far, we've done two amendments to the zoning that was passed in March of 2017, and we have a few more in the pipeline.
Well, there's a lot of holes, and I'll come back and talk more specifics at a future meeting. I don't want to take any more of your time tonight, so thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it, Mr. Seidel. Thank you.
Good evening, Kevin Ferguson, 1330 Quail Hollow Road. I don't want to pile on the amusement tax issue, but you know that I support this rec center, and to address really quickly your concern about your friends not being able to swim, the design of this facility takes care of that problem. I have the same problem. I don't belong here now because I can't swim. This new facility design will allow the public to go and swim there pretty much whenever they want. That's what the 50-meter pool in park is about. You know, the tax increase affects me as well. I support this project. I want to see it happen. And I think it's going to be good for the community. But I'm also concerned how it's going to be paid for and how it's going to affect all of us. The amusement tax issue has been brought up for a number of months. And in that time, today, you're able to tell us how much you're going to increase our taxes. So certainly you would think that if you've been talking about an amusement tax increase, certainly by this time you should be able to tell us what the new amusement tax is going to be. So I question the sincerity from some of the other parties as to how significant the increase will be. I could be wrong on that. But when I hear that part of the consideration is you're considering what they are contributing towards the town and trying to come up with a new reasonable tax, I would say two things. One, all businesses, especially in small towns, certainly contribute towards their towns. I mean, that's nothing special. That's just kind of what they do. That's kind of expected of them. But at the same time, I hope you would consider what we have been giving up by not having a full 10% tax since 1998 when this agreement was established. I think we're probably missing out on well over $100 million in that 20-year period. So we've given up an awful lot by not having a 10% tax. So I think those two kind of have to maybe squash each other out, and let's just sit down and come up with a very reasonable tax, not just for the rec center, but for all the projects that the township needs. The hotel tax, yep, that's a good one too. I mean, right now the town is pretty much littered with hotels. So why are we not getting a hotel tax? These are all things that can alleviate the burden on us. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Ferguson.
You want to be paid for it.
Anyone else who would like to address the board?
My name is Bob Welsh. I live at Hilltop Road. I've lived here for a long time, probably close to 50 years. I'm a CPA, not practicing, retired, so I kind of can figure out numbers. I looked at this stuff, and it pretty much doesn't make sense, period. That's it from a financial standpoint. Now, let me say this, and I have some definite thoughts about the pool, the proposed rec center. I wasn't going to bring this up, but I'll bring it up since another previous speaker brought it up, and it has to do with the affordability of stuff in Derry Township. For the most part, in my opinion, if you did a poll of people in, say, the central Pennsylvania area, the Harrisburg area, they view people in Hershey as kind of an elitist, snob, uppity group, okay? Having said that, I feel that way. Okay, that people view it that way. Now, having said that, my wife and I each graduated from Steele Chrysler, which, as you probably know, isn't exactly the pinnacle of economic status, okay, since the flood in 72. And this doesn't have anything to do with, I'm just giving you where I'm coming from, okay? This doesn't have anything to do with the pool or the budget or any of that crap. When I listen to that one lady talk about the backpack stuff, I volunteer on a weekly basis at Steele High with giving out food to people who are flat out hurting. They're flat out hurting, okay? 90% of the people there qualify or are at or below the poverty level, okay? When we give food to those people, they are polite and thankful and appreciative. Now, the Derry Township, the percentage of people qualifying for, pardon me, for subsidized lunches and food is increasing. So that should be telling, ain't gonna get any better. Ain't going to get any better, you're jacking these taxes up. It's just flat out not going to happen. Now, having said that, where I kind of am with the rec center, I think the rec center should be modified, improved, not to the extent that it is now. And I think that's my vain opinion, that if you did a survey, I think that's what you would find. Having said that, I don't know how many of you, and I've had conversation with several of you people about the spooky nook thing, which is down 283 at Solonga. That is like 500 million people on a weekend, okay? It's not that, really. It's a lot of people. If you were to take that and airlift that, okay, on the footprint of the current rec center on a weekend, that is going to be a flat-out total disaster. Even if that were free and someone airlifted it there and dropped it, total disaster. It has nothing to do with the community. That is screwing the community, man. That has nothing to do with it. That's not benefiting the community. I'm going to tell you that right now. Now, having pardon me, having said that, a couple of months ago, there was a presentation by a firm, a consultant firm, the name of which I forget, that did an operational financial presentation about the cost of the new proposed facility, okay? And they left, but they totally left out the debt service. Now, to me, I'm like, are you? And I made some two-second comment about that. I'm thinking, man, are you kidding me? That would be like if I had a house that I paid $100,000 for and I had a mortgage of 20 and my utilities were like $500 a month, and there's a house down the street for $200,000 and their utilities were $300 a month. And I said to my wife, honey, man, we're moving down the street. And she said, well, why are we doing that? And I said, well, because we're going to save $200 in utilities. And you say, oh, man. And at some point she said, honey, you know, where are we coming up with that money? Our mortgage is going to increase. And I say, yeah, you're right. You know, we just can't do it. And so that's to not include the debt service in that in the budget is just, it's just malpractice at best. It's deceptive at worst. And quite frankly, if I look at this whole, I think the pool thing is driven by a small group of people who have an interest that is far narrower than the community as a whole. Having said that, I just don't think that it's the business of Derry Township to do this kind of something the scope of this. So let's say hypothetically that I like to bowl, okay? I want a bowling alley, man. I want a flat-out bowling alley. And I'm going to get all the bowling people in Derry Township to come up here and whine and scream and put on a Trump demonstration with banners and stuff and logos and sell T-shirts, and I'll follow through with that. So, sorry to ramble. I appreciate that, but I'm totally against the scope of the pool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's got nothing to do with the budget, Mark.
Oh, okay. Please step forward.
I've been meaning to, Luke Pioletti, 156 West Grove Avenue, Hershey. It's indirectly related to this. No budget talk.
Go for it.
Okay. Been meaning to come up the past month and a half. I teach two nights a week at Penn State in addition to working full time. So, first chance I had him out to come up here. Somewhat related to what others were talking about tonight. We talked about the infrastructure issue. A couple months ago, I came to a township meeting, and I commended the township. And first of all, I think every department within this township, the police department, public works, parks and rec, it's second to none. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. And I complimented the township on several years ago, putting the white lines on the roads. Okay, I lived in the same house for 52 years, right in town. I've seen traffic patterns like probably nobody else in this room has seen traffic patterns. It works. And at that meeting a couple months ago, you guys were talking about putting crosswalks on Elm Avenue. And you said that depending on the budget, yeah, I said the word budget, depending on the budget, you would see if you could do more crosswalks. I love the one you did. I highly, highly encourage you to continue that. How is that related to the community center? Well, the community center is going to be a mere 2-3 blocks away from certain parts of Elm Avenue. And I think the traffic there is only going to increase, and the speeds are only going to increase. So I do think if you haven't made a decision to continue with those crosswalks, you really need to strongly, strongly consider that. Okay. Regarding crosswalks, the crosswalk at Royer's on Chocolate Avenue, and this is related to the downtown project, which is bringing more traffic into town, it's terrible. The other night I was walking my dog. It's not about me, but I was walking my dog. Nobody was stopping. So for 30 minutes, you're all going to think I'm nuts, more nuts than you ever think I am. But for 30 minutes, I did nothing except walk back and forth on that crosswalk.
You're not dealing.
Okay? And I taped it, but it's R-rated, Mark. No, I taped it. I swear to God, it's R-rated. If you want to see it later, I'll show it to you. Hundreds of cars. Nobody stopped. It was night. I had a flashlight. I'm waving the flashlight, shining in windshields. Nobody's stopping. It's amazing. Three cars stopped. Lastly, and I apologize, with the amusement tax, There are three organizations. A lot of people might not know this. There are three organizations in the township that pay the amusement tax. AG&R, Adventure Sports, and believe it or not, you know what the third one is?
The Hershey Community Chorus.
Oh, my gosh.
Do I win anything?
Well, maybe. I bet you once before. Yeah, so I went to see their concert on Sunday, and my wife just started singing with them, actually. They're a great organization.
Adventure Sports, they're not the township.
Challenge.
So all I'm saying is, if you are looking at, and last night they had a potluck dinner, and they gave a speech, and they were talking about their budget, nobody was complaining, and the one person said, and we have to pay an amusement tax. So my hope would be, it's about $200 a year. To them, that's a lot of money. To the township, that's like...
Lou, would you please let them know that they can write a letter and ask for a waiver? Other nonprofits have done that, and
I told them that I would address this. So I'm taking advantage of the crowd a little bit on this topic, but if anybody should not be paying that amusement tax,
they can write a letter to appeal it to the tax office.
Okay. Wow.
They're free themselves.
Okay. Great.
And so the crosswalks, can we talk about that?
Crosswalks.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so Elm... If one side is done, it will get white lines, and then the other side's going to get done in the spring. So in other words, I think the eastern side was done, right. The ramps, and so... But
up and down all of them?
No, just that intersection.
Okay.
But, so the township, we did start the Dairy Township Bike Ped Alliance, and so if you have recommendations on the crosswalks or additions, by all means, get on the email list, and there's an active group that's meeting and talking about these issues all the time, and the crosswalk on Valley, we've talked about that for a long time. It is dangerous, and nobody sees it. There's long story, but the bottom line is that is part of the streetscape that's going to be done in the spring. And so there will be a button that you can activate, a light that will go sort of, it's a pedestrian sign that will have LED around it. So when you press the button, it will let motorists know that they need to stop.
And the other obvious thing is that we can do whatever we can do, but really it's up to everybody in the township to slow down and to take care of each other and to watch. So, everybody just has to be more careful. It's the same thing all the intersections. What road's the same thing?
With respect to Royers, we've run traffic enforcement there on numerous occasions, and Chief, maybe we need to step that up again or reinvigorate that.
There's revenue.
But
I'm not gonna give you money. I'll be your decoy, whatever, as long as I don't get hit.
Yeah, but Luke, don't get hit, please. Okay, or anyone else out there, just not get hit. But Chief, if we could, maybe.
But to reiterate, and I'm gonna, it is related to everything going on in town, because we can talk about the budget. And y'all know how I feel about the big topic, and I'm not gonna repeat it. But we cannot lose sight of the safety issue as well, because there's still a lot of senior citizens in town, and especially the people living in the high rise there. I actually went for a walk the other night with Stacy, and she said, I love the downtown. You guys know Stacy.
Yeah, sure.
She said, I love the downtown. She said, I'm a little concerned about the traffic, though. And then right after she said that, a lady in a wheelchair was struggling to get across.
Yeah.
So I just felt tonight was a good opportunity to bring that up, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anyone else wishing to address the Board of Supervisors?
Mr.
Moyer, we really have to entertain other people or move on with our agenda. We've got a full agenda this evening.
Just a quick suggestion regarding Valley. There needs to be better lighting there. Nobody expects that to be a crosswalk as you're coming up that hill.
Okay.
And I've seen many people coming from businesses, and they're wearing dark clothes. It's not, you don't see them.
On Valley, yeah.
So I think definitely need some light.
Okay. Thank you, Fish. All right, let's move on to the adoption of minutes. Next item on the agenda, the adoption of the Board of Supervisors minutes. I move to approve the November 27th, 2018 Board Supervisor meeting minutes. I'll entertain a second.
Second that.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and those minutes are approved unanimously. I'll move for the November 28th, 2018 budget hearing minutes to be approved.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed. And those minutes are approved unanimously. And I'll move for the December 4th, 2018 Board Supervisors meeting minutes. to be approved. I'll entertain a second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, and those minutes are approved unanimously. The preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for the Town Place Suites, plot number 1309, is rescheduled for the January 22nd, 2019 meeting. The consideration of proposed demolition of existing structures and constructions of a new hotel at 554 through 574 West Chocolate Avenue within the downtown overlay zoning district is also rescheduled for the January 22nd, 2019 meeting. The first item on the agenda of substance is adoption of resolution number 1567, a resolution adopting the township's 2019 budget, and adoption of resolution 1568, establishing real estate taxes for 2019. Joe.
As the chairman has stated, we have resolutions before the board tonight adopting the 2019 budget and establishing the real estate taxes for 2019. In overview of the 2019 budget, expenditures for all of the funds for the 2019 budget total $24,957,327. Revenues are estimated at $27,074,922. The 2019 budget includes a 0.30 mil real estate tax increase in support of the capital fund, and a 0.25 mil increase is proposed for 2020. The increase will generate an additional $621,995 in revenue in 2019, bringing the total revenue to $3,115,904 for capital projects. The total amount of the capital budget expenditures total $3,271,766, and this will be offset by $200,000 from the endowment trust.
Thank you. Chris, do you envision both of these resolutions being moved on at the same time or separately?
I would approve each resolution separately,
okay.
A separate motion, if that's possible.
Very well. Any questions, comments, concerns by the members of the board?
The only thing that I would add is that I think it's misleading to throw in a tax increase for the following year when that's not what we're voting on. So I think it's important that we make that clear for the record. We're not voting in 2 years of tax increases. We're looking at 1 year of tax increases.
Right.
And potentially two, but that's not what we're voting on.
Very well. And I would actually prefer an amendment to the proposed resolution to reflect the 2019 numbers as opposed to the combined. And so I believe resolution 1568 is at 2.2881 mils.
That is only the 0.30 increase for 2019.
And that would be for 2019 and 2019 only.
Yes.
By way of clarification. So I'll entertain a motion that resolution 1567 of Terry Township appropriating specific sums estimated to be required for specific purposes of the municipal government as herein set forth in the total amount of $24,957,327 for year 2019 be approved.
I'll make the motion.
Moved by Ms. Court. Second by no one?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, I am a nay. I'll entertain a motion for the resolution number 1568, a resolution of the Township of Derry, Dauphin County, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, establishing the real estate millage rate for 2018 at 2.2881 mils be approved. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel. I have a second.
I'll second that.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And I am a nay, and that too approved 3-1.
Would anyone, Jill or Chris, perhaps want to talk a little bit about the process, just as a recap for the audience of how many months we've been discussing the budget? Just if you give just a little bit of a review, the consultants that have come in, the process with staff. Some of the folks here maybe haven't been here and weren't sort of part of that process. Certainly the board's had multiple conversations with the consultants and with staff as well, and with you and Chris. So, Jill, if you could maybe just provide a little summary on kind of the thinking that went into the decisions.
Yeah, sure. Every month we do get end-of-month reports that we do review and see where we are within the year to make sure we're within our budgeted items. And then June and July, we really start to look at the budget and start to put some numbers together. The budget is submitted by each department in August, and Cheryl and Finance and the Township Manager review that and look it over to see if the costs are appropriate or if there can be any cuts made. And then the overall budget is looked at, and it's brought before the board then in November for review. We also have been working with PFM for the last, almost 3 years now, and they've given us a couple budgetary tools to look at where we can actually estimate numbers, put them in, and see how it affects the overall budget, and that has been very helpful to us this year. We can look out the current model they've given us, putting in these numbers, has allowed us to look out to 2026 to see exactly what those numbers will be based on what we know now with our revenue and expenditures.
Not to put you on the spot, but we don't have that schedule. You don't have that schedule readily available, do you, to put on the screen?
Not to put on the screen.
The only reason I say that is because when we went over this publicly in the budget hearing, I think we had four people in the audience, and now we have a lot more. It would be helpful to see that. But we do, looking out 4 to 5 years, and I don't want to be quoted on this, but I'm going to say it, that we do show a substantial surplus in the capital fund when you look out approximately 4 or 5 years. Am I correct?
Right. Yeah, we looked out to 2026, and the numbers of the budget is funded and balanced out that far.
So, but it's, if I'm not mistaken, it's a lot sooner than that. Can you show me?
And I can make copies available after the meeting if anyone.
And the only reason I bring this up is because I know it sounds far-fetched, but there is the potential for tax reduction if we stay on course.
In 2019, we're expected to have a surplus of $43,943. That increases in 2020 to $127,983. It is only $17,396 in 2021. We'll balance the budget in 2022. And in 2023, we're to have a surplus of $495,375.
Okay, so the point I'm making is that we're taking care of a lot of things right now that potentially have been put off. And so that it does look, when we have to go out 4 years, it does look better.
And in the 2019 budget in particular, there were additional costs that were higher in previous years. The software costs were both almost $100,000 or in excess for accounting software and the police software. We have the requirements from DEP for the landfill remediation. We have the power floor at the library that's been a safety concern for many years, and we finally need to address. So, a dump truck, there were some larger expenses that are not really the norm.
Yeah, we'll note on September 11th of this year, our advisors indicated, if I remember the minutes correctly, that when asked whether we can expect a tax increase for the next 5 to 7 years, I think the response was something to the effect of, yeah, we can reasonably, or it's entirely possible that we will not have a tax increase over the next 5 to 7 years. Well, we're having a tax increase tonight, and we might be having a tax increase next year. And I'm just saying.
I have to ask a question, though, because this board has been working, and actually the staff has been working much harder than this board to try to put this budget together. And we've worked with consultants for months. This has been a very collaborative process with all of the board members and the staff and the consultants, not just to look at this next year, but to look at many years out. And it's something that, as you can imagine, if you were sitting in our seats, we take this very seriously. We all live here. This all impacts us as well. So I'm just going to ask you, Marcus, I'm a little surprised by your vote. You know, in all the meetings that we've had, we didn't hear any pushback. We didn't hear any opposition. And to say no tonight without any explanation why, I think it's just a little confusing because we've all been very collaborative in the process up to this point.
I agree. For the last 2 years, I've been expressing my concern. It's up the minutes. I can give you the dates. Just go back and take a look at them. For the last 2 years, I've been very concerned about the deficit spending of this board. I voted no on some very high dollar figures on some major projects. I've been the only no vote on some of these projects. Quite clearly,
no,
please let me finish, because I'm confused by your comments. I have voiced opposition to that. I have voiced very serious concerns about our deficit spending and our need to be fiscally responsible. I believe on one instance, I said it would be disingenuous. That's the word I used, and I could have used other words, but I used the word disingenuous to suggest that we're not going to need tax increases. I believe that was in 2017. And yet here we are today. And so I think my concerns have come to fruition. I think my concerns may potentially come to fruition next year, as projected by the very same entity that said that it's possible we don't have any tax increases over the next 5 to 7 years. And so I welcome this board, in conjunction with individuals and groups from this community, to work closely with the board supervisors in terms of the fiscal expenditures, the financial expenditures we have. And I'm not saying at all that we haven't worked very hard on this budget. I'm not saying we haven't worked collaboratively, but you can't say I didn't tell you so. And here we are.
But see, Mark, I hear, I don't want to prolong this or protract this any more than it already has been. But I think it's important.
You already are. Please stop.
Excuse me?
Please stop.
We allow all of you to speak, and we listen to you very respectfully. Please do the same in exchange.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Mark, the thing that's confusing to me is that in all the meetings we sat together as a board and we discussed this budget and we dissected it inside and out, that we never heard from you, or I never heard from you, an alternative. It's easy to sit up here and say, no, I don't want a tax increase either. But what's the alternative?
The alternative.
What's the alternative other than voting no? I have not heard any.
The last 2 years, I gave this board many, many alternatives to vote with me. You chose not to. In fact, the responses I got was, well, we don't know if we're going to have tax increases over the next couple of years. We don't know that for certain.
It's well, not true.
Not fair, Mark.
It's on record.
It's not fair.
It's in the minutes. The other response was, well, we just need to tighten our belts. We just need our department heads to tighten our belts.
Amen.
And so, and so I'm not going to sit here and ratify a policy and pass policies by voting for a tax increase.
I think I've been pretty patient. Can I have a word?
Yeah, please.
Because it'll be short. I mean, it's not. I think it's just really important to point out a couple of things. I don't think that we said there wouldn't be a tax increase. I think we've been very public. And Matt, you can weigh in. I think we've been very public that if we do the rec center, that we have a couple options. One of which was we could sell DTMA. We could sell DTMA, and we could pay for the pool and pay off all our debt. And we decided we weren't going to do that. And when we decided we weren't going to do that, we said what this will likely be is a tax increase of somewhere around 0.576. And I think we've been pretty consistent with that.
So
I don't think for the past couple of years we've been saying there's not going to be a tax increase. That's just the one point I want to make. The other point I want to make, Mark, is that, look, I respect your votes. You can vote however you like. But there has been an inconsistency. And you can't say that you did vote for the 15-year pool. There's certain things.
I voted to explore the cost of the 50-meter pool and the revenue projections. Mark, all those information
Mark,
presented very late in the process
I
before
let you
the
talk, Mark. I'm talking right now.
Please do.
Anybody can look at the minutes. And when we got to a point with this project, and we decided, are we going to design a 50-meter pool or are we going to design a 25-yard pool? You voted in favor of designing the 50-meter pool, and there's been several other votes along the way where, yes, you have voted no for several things, but there's been several other votes along the way where you voted affirmative. So that's the only point of that.
And I appreciate that. And I mean, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. The issue wasn't, and this budget isn't entirely about the community center. as we know. Just the opposite. It's the overall comprehensive approach towards capital spending. And the issue, as I've said many times, is the issue is not how much community center we're willing to spend on. The issue is how much are we willing to spend on the community center in light of all the other capital expenditures and uncertainties associated with the normal business operations of this township? I've said that before many times. My vote is what it is. I think it's well justified. It obviously didn't carry the day, and I think we should move on.
Let Matt have an opportunity to speak.
I just feel in observing this township that we have a lot of dedicated people here. We have a lot of people that come to expect certain things with this town, expect a balance in the town, and expect the services that are provided by the police, by the fire, and that stuff costs money. And one of the services I expected all my life is good recreation facilities that pays big benefits. It pays big benefits for a community.
Where are they helping the elder and Shane then? I mean, come on, let's spread it around a little bit.
You have 15 meters to spread it around.
All right.
I just wanted to make one other point, and I think it's an important one, because it's for context, and it goes back many years, but I think it's an important point to make, and I think as CARS is looking at our capital spending, I think it's relevant, and that is that this building costs a lot of money. It costs $18 million, and so when this decision was made, the practice that was going on was that we were taking almost $800,000 to $1 million per year from the general fund to fund the capital fund, which is what this board, and Mark, you were around when that was going on. That went on for many years. And that money not going to the general fund came from potholes, came from all the other things that could have been spent in the general fund. But for years, it was being transferred to pay for this building. So I think it's just a relevant thing for residents to know that this building costs a lot of money, probably a lot more than it should. So
item B1 through 20, consideration of proposal from Griffith Stevens and Lee Consulting to provide state funding procurement services for the Hershey Community Center project. Are we going to, I know there were some concerns about some details concerning that. I think I'm going to move that we table this for right now.
I'll second
that. Okay, and Mr. Engel, second that. All those in favor of tabling B1 through 20, say aye.
Aye.
And that motion carries unanimously. The next item, C1 through C26, consideration of terminating an agreement with LIT Palmyra LP regarding proposed road improvements to the access driveway to the property located along North Lingle Avenue. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So LIT Palmyra Hillwood is the location of the General Mills distribution facility, if you're familiar with that. The property is partially in Dauphin County, partially in Lebanon County. In Lebanon County, it's in North Londonderry and Palmyra Borough, North Londonderry Township, Palmyra Borough. And of course, in Dauphin County, it's in part of Derry Township. The original project, General Mills, actually funded a lot of the improvements that are at the intersection of Chocolate and Lingle Avenue. And there was a time in the township where the township had restricted truck traffic from Lingle Avenue. That was happening around in 2011 when this property came before the board for rezoning from agricultural, which was the zoning within Derry Township, to industrial to match the zoning in Lebanon County and the use of the rest of the property. The Board of Supervisors did grant the zoning change, although there was considerable concern with truck traffic on Lingle Avenue at the time, to the point where, like I said, the Board of Supervisors had restricted truck traffic. In 2013, however, the Board of Supervisors lifted that restriction on Lingle Avenue. Let me back up one second. So in 2011, LIT, Palmyra LIT, entered into an agreement with Derry Township to design the roadway as shown on this plan, that trucks could not make a left on Lingle, everybody had to go north. 2013, when the restriction was lifted, That means the facility, EDC3, can come down South Lingle. General Mills can come down South Lingle. These restrictions or the improvements proposed were not installed because the land development plan lacked. We're now at a point where they have a user for the property. The land development plan is going to probably be recorded shortly, and they're looking to have this restriction, this road use agreement, lifted. Ron Lucas is here if you'd like any additional information, but he doesn't necessarily have to speak.
Very subtly said there, Chuck. Does anybody have any questions or concerns of either Chuck or Mr. Lucas?
So was the restriction in place because the intersection wasn't done yet? Or
what? That's what we understand, yes.
I'll entertain a motion that the Board of Supervisors enter into a termination of road use agreement with LIP Palmyra LP. I'll make the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll make the second, and then can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So HRG's obviously looked at this.
At the lifting of the road use agreement?
Yeah.
No, absolutely, they have not.
They have not. Okay. You're recommending it for approval.
Because General Mills is today permitted to travel on the road. EDC3 is today permitted to travel on the road. It seems like a restriction that's no longer necessary. It's quite that simple. Mm-hmm.
And you believe that it was solely because the intersection was not improved in Lingle and Chocolate?
There are minutes of the lifting of the agreement. I'm going to ask Ron to come up because... He's the one that actually even brought forward a newspaper article of the lifting of the agreement.
Good evening, Ron Lucas, attorney in Harrisburg, Stevens Lee. The, from the ordinances, Tonto, appears that the restriction was put on in 2004 because of the intersection and issues with truck turning movements. Chuck indicated, the construction occurred in 2011. There was a TIF action in Lebanon County because that's where the property was assessed. That I think it was about $2 million went to improvement of the intersection. That closed the gap PennDOT had. The intersection improvements were completed in 2013. The township passed an ordinance. The minutes of the meeting show the passage. Newspaper article that I supplied with my letter request showed there was discussion that there was no longer a need to restrict the traffic because the intersection was approved. And the main issue was the turning movements at the intersection. The intersection was widened. There were some properties actually acquired by PennDOT, and that improved it. So the restriction was lifted in 2013. This really was brought to our attention because of the concern of General Mills that they had been ability to make lefts if they have to, just like EDC does and the other uses in that area. So they said, we don't want to be restricted in the future.
Yeah. I guess the only thing it's not so much the safety of that intersection, but then where are the trucks going? So in other words, they would have to go north under this scenario where they're going out to 81 or using Hershey Park Drive, whereas if we allow this and they're able to head south, then we have a possibility of more truck traffic on Chocolate Avenue, do we not?
It's a possibility, but there's far more trucks coming from the other facilities today, and we're not aware of any issue or problem. Mm-hmm. With trucks coming out of General Mills or trucks coming out of EDC. Because the trucks from General Mills do not have a physical restriction, and the restriction that was put on in 2004 was lifted in 2013. So we're not aware that there's been an issue for the past 5 years.
Right. So you have trucks that are either going to take right on Chocolate or they're going to head south on Lingle and through Campbelltown.
That's what the General Mills trucks could do today.
Right.
We're not aware. Nobody's indicated there's been a problem with a number of trucks doing that.
Right. So
maybe occasional trucks.
So trucks going south. I'm just thinking this through. So trucks going south, then if we force them out to Hershey Park Drive, then they would end up coming in closer to town than heading south. And I don't know that that's what we want either.
Right. So, and it actually defeats the purpose of having.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay, very good.
Okay.
Take that through.
Thank you.
anything else you want to add, Ron, or Chuck?
I wasn't going to say anything unless Chuck wanted me to answer questions.
So we have a first and a second.
Oh, well, I don't know if we have a second.
I think a second. Before I ask questions.
Okay. So then we'll go for a vote. Those in favor of the termination of the road use agreement, say aye.
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 Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Next item on the agenda is consideration of Resolution 1576, which would revise the reimbursement fee schedule rates for the township engineer related to reimbursements under the provisions of the Subdivision and Land Use Development and Stormwater Management Ordinance. Chuck?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a rather simple resolution. On the years that HRG does raise their fees that's billed out for review, we need to adopt a new resolution so that we can pass those fees on to developers and those that are, you know, reimbursing us for their fees. I can tell you, since I've been here, HRG has not consistently raised their fees each year. This is one of the years when they have.
Any questions or concerns on this item with Chuck? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that Resolution 1576 be adopted, and I'll entertain a second.
Second
by Ms. Cordell. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that resolution passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda is E122, consideration of Resolution 1576, which would revise certain fees and restate other fees under the building code, zoning codes, subdivision and land development codes, stormwater management codes, and other miscellaneous fees and charges for services provided by community development personnel. Chuck?
So in 2011, we did a rather comprehensive fee study, fee review, and put all of our fees into one resolution. Since that time, we've been monitoring each year the Consumer Price Index to see if it's appropriate to raise our fees. We've done that because when we did our original study back in 2011, we found out that there were some fees within the township that hadn't been raised for 20 years. So to keep on top of keeping the fees current, each year we've assessed this. The CPI between the last large resolution, which was 1426 in 2015, and August of 2018, which was the largest CPI in 2018, the difference is about 3.96%. So generally speaking, on average, building permits are we're proposing to raise about 4.2%, zoning permits about 4.4%, on-lot septic permits are third-party, but they're going up about 4%. Subdivision and land development plan filing fees is 4.4%. The stormwater management administration application fee is going up 3.6% in this resolution. Fire inspection fee, 4.1%. And then within our resources, that's our photocopies and books and things. Much of those fees are regulated by the right to know law, open records law. The only thing that's raised really in that category is the cost of a CD to $3 from $1. So this is an attempt to keep all of our fees current with the trends in the economy. These are end user fees, so I think this is a fiscally responsible way to address our fees.
Thank you, Chuck. Any questions for Chuck on this? Hearing none, I'll recommend making a motion that Resolution 1574 be adopted. I'll entertain a second.
Second
by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and 1574 resolution is adopted unanimously. The next item on the agenda is at 1 through 11. Time extension for conditional approval of preliminary final subdivision plan for 19 East Chocolate Avenue, South Lot, Plat 1299. Chuck?
Thank you. In July of 2018, the Board of Supervisors did conditionally approve this plan. This plan joins many properties together to the east of the theater building. At that time, there were a few conditions to be addressed. The one outstanding condition that needs yet delivered to us is that the revised shared access and parking agreement be provided. And that's shared with the Hershey Company and other entities that are involved with the parking on that property. The applicant has asked for an extension to January 31st, 2018 to address the remaining comment. Historically, because of the sale portion of the property, sometimes signatures are hard to get on these agreements. We're supportive of the extension.
Thank you, Chuck. Any questions?
With three conditions noted as under department head recommendations, items A, B, and C.
Very well. Any questions or concerns for Chuck on this item? Hearing none, I'll move that the conditional approval of the final subdivision plan for 19 East Chocolate Avenue, South Lot, Plat 1299, be extended until January 31st, 2019, subject to compliance with conditions A through C in the department head recommendation section to this agenda item. Second by Ms. Cordell. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that item passes unanimously. Item G, 1 through 17, adoption of resolution 1575, accepting public improvements, releasing the remaining balance of the performance security, and entering into an 18-month maintenance security period for the preliminary final subdivision plan for Hill Church Glen, Plat 1175. Chuck, once again.
Short technical difficulty here. My program closed down. So the board approved what you see on the screen, Hill Church Glen, in July 27th of 2010. Since that time, the developer has built the road, built the houses, and finally up top of the road, Tomasi Drive, which is a small cul-de-sac. The developer is looking for a release of their security and to enter into a maintenance term of 18 months for dedication of the roadway. The current balance of security is $34,319.45. HRG has confirmed the request and is recommending release of the remaining balance of the performance security and acceptance of the dedicated roadway improvements. Along with that, we will have a maintenance security amount of $15,193.80 to be retained for 18 months. I'm recommending that the board adopts resolution 1575 accepting public roadway improvements known as Tomasi Drive, authorizes the release of the remaining balance of the performance security, and accepts the cash maintenance security in the amount of $15,193.80 and executes the maintenance security agreement for a term of 18 months for Plat 1175.
Thank you, Chuck. Any questions or concerns for Chuck on this agenda item? Hearing none, I'll move that the board adopt resolution 1575, accepting the public roadway improvements to Tomasi Drive, authorize the release of the remaining balance of the performance security in the amount of $34,319.45, provided as Metro Bank letter of credit 2128, accept cash maintenance security in the amount of $15,193.80, and execute the maintenance security agreement for a term of 18 months for the preliminary final subdivision plan for Hill Church Glen, Plat 1175. I'll entertain a second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Engwald. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is consideration of acceptance of performance security for the stormwater management plan for Penn State College of Medicine parking deck S-2018-018. Mr. Emmer.
Thank you. The Med Center has submitted a stormwater management plan for the construction of a new parking garage to the north of Lifeline Drive on the medical campus. HRG has reviewed the cost estimate prepared by the developer. This is upon approval of the stormwater plans. And has recommended that performance security in the amount of $2,425,738 be provided. The developer has provided the security in the form of PNC bank letter, bank credit letter, we'll forget the number. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors accept the performance security in the amount of $2,425,738 and that Penn State and the Township that we accept this security.
Any questions for Chuck on this agenda item? I'll entertain a motion that the Board of Supervisors accept performance security in an amount of $2,425,738 in the form of a PNC Bank letter of credit number 18131088-00-000 and enter into an accompanying agreement to provide financial security between the Pennsylvania State University and the Township for the Stormwater Management Plan for Penn State College of Medicine Parking Deck S-2018-018. I'll entertain a second.
Second.
Second by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is I-1-4, consideration of a reduction in the performance security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for UGrow Learning Center addition, plat number 1271. Chuck?
The developer has requested a reduction of the security based on the improvements that have been completed to date. HRG has performed an inspection and has provided a written recommendation that $286,164.51 is eligible for relief. If approved by the board, the new balance of the security would be $33,752.73. We are recommending that the board authorize the release.
Thank you. Any questions or concerns? Hearing none, I'll move that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of $286,164.51 from the performance security provided as Fidelity and Deposit Company of Maryland bond number 925-7079 for the preliminary final land development plan for UGrow Learning Center addition, plat 1271, resulting in a new balance of $33,752.73, and I'll entertain a second to that motion.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. The final item on the agenda, item J1-2, is the release of performance security provided for the temporary structure located on the Hershey Town Square property. Mr. Emmerich.
The temporary structure was the temporary post office, which has since been removed. We've been holding cash performance security in the amount of $4,800 for its removal. Since it has been removed, I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of the cash performance security.
Any questions or concerns on this item? Hearing none, I'll move that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of cash performance security in the amount of $4,800, which had been provided to ensure the removal of the temporary structure on the Hershey Town Square site. I'll entertain a second.
I'll second that.
Second by Ms. Cord. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is correspondence and board and committee information. Mr. Weir, anything on your end?
Yes, I attended a meeting last week of the Local Government Advisory Committee, along with Mike Callahan at Stormwater Authority, for the purpose of them taking information on what rules and regulations municipalities should be forwarding, what's working, what's not working. Very interesting meeting. The other thing I have is, as many of you know, we've not had an update on our tree ordinance. It's in draft form since 2013. I'm asking that we move this forward by reconvening a committee, looking over the 2013 draft of the tree ordinance and bringing it up to date to coordinate with many of the other initiatives going on in the township.
Thank you, Matt. I have nothing. Susan?
Just a quick happy holidays to the board and the staff and elder members from the public who came out this evening. I just want to thank you all for your concern of and your care for our township, that whether you're a resident sitting out in the audience or you're an elected official or a member of our staff, we're all residents here and we're all stewards of this community. And I appreciate your interest in it and encourage you to stay involved and to keep coming back, because together we can make our township a better place. I also want to continue to encourage you to treat each other with respect. You all have different opinions. We all have different opinions, and that's okay. But please treat our staff, our board, and, of course, everybody in the audience with the same respect that you would expect from them. Thank you, and happy holidays.
Thank you, Susan. Justin?
Yeah, the only thing I added, Matt, I agree with you that we need to bring forward that tree ordinance. It's overdue, and maybe we need to look at the committee that's doing that, but I'm anxious to, I haven't read it in detail, but I'm anxious to see whether there's good coordination with species.
Thank you for moving that forward, too, Matt.
Yeah, so I've been in contact with several members of the old committee. Jill, I guess I talked to you a little bit about it. If we could move it ahead. Chris, I appreciate it.
We did put a tree commission in place, correct?
Temporarily,
okay.
But then we wanted to add more members to it and get it moving.
Yes.
Would this be the tree commission that would be the working committee that works on this?
It could be.
Okay. All right, good. Let's talk more.
Police department, thanks. Chief.
Nothing tonight.
Fire department.
Just our Santa Claus runs have concluded. It was a huge success again this year. It
certainly was. Public Works.
Nothing tonight, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Jeff, anything we have left?
Nothing tonight.
All right, Cheryl?
Nothing, thank you.
Matt, anything we have?
Nothing.
And Josh?
I just wanted to update the board that HRG was out on site at Forest Lane and Sand Hill Road, PPL location, and we did provide paint marks for PPL to relocate the poles as needed for adequate site distance. That all right. That's all.
Thank you for that. Chuck?
Merry Christmas, Dawn.
It's all good night.
We're worried for
Christmas. Hey, Lauren.
Just a thank you to our Department of Parks and Recreation and Public Works for helping to prepare the park for the holiday celebration a couple weeks ago, to all the volunteers that came out, and to the Supervisor Court for serving as MC.
Excellent. Jill?
I have nothing to report. The board will meet next at the reorganization meeting held on January 7th.
Excellent. Thank you, Jill. Chris, anything?
I just have a couple of items, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I know it was a very emotional discussion this evening regarding the budget, but I do want to take this opportunity to thank the staff for their hard work. I know I'm coming in at the 11th hour to this process, and I'm new to it here. I look forward to working with all of you in 2019 to look at our budget and look at our operational processes and determine if there can be some efficiencies achieved. So when we're sitting here a year from now, we'll have some maybe different news to report. The other thing I do want to talk to the board about, we had a meeting and it was alluded to by a representative from HRG this evening. We did meet with folks from PPNL last Wednesday on the 12th, and I did share some of those results via email to you and to also to some of the residents who have now left the room. But to publicly acknowledge the fact that our staff and our engineer, we did meet with the representatives from PPNL to discuss the options and some of the safety concerns that we had relative to the pole that's placed at the corner of Forest Avenue and Sand Hill Road. We will be reconvening another meeting on January 3rd at about 8:30 here again, the same group. And they, at that time, will present some options for us to consider. And I look forward to presenting that to you probably at the reorg meeting that night. Okay.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you for your diligence on this, and to Justin, too, for doing yeoman's work on following up on all those issues. So.
Thank you.
I'll move for approval of accounts payable in the amount of $351,050.76, and payroll in the amount of $337,303.97. I'll entertain a second.
Second
by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and accounts payable and payroll are approved unanimously. Now is the time for the second visitor and public comment section. Anyone wishing to address the board supervisors, please do so by stating your name and address. And if you would please confine your remarks to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated. Mr. Gamble.
Richard Gamble, 39 Harpersville Road. Merry Christmas to you, Susan. And I always say, practice what you preach. Mark, I want to withdraw my charge that none of you are fiscally responsible in support of what Mark was trying to tell you. Over the past several years, he's been asking and wanting to get a clear picture. It's very obvious. Maybe we pushed too fast on this pool. Maybe we spent too much money. Apparently, we're making between $600,000 and $700,000 on this tax increase this year. How much did we spend on the pool by pushing it? Maybe we should have done one section every quarter, not trying to do it all in one quarter. We need mowers. We need trucks. We need street sweepers. We need all these things in our township. And I think that's more of a priority than a swimming pool to go that fast. You say it took 5 years? Well, it didn't go very fast at the beginning, but it was a big, big push to get done in the last several months, even to the point where people think we're tearing it down. And you haven't even approved it yet. So how are you going to tear something down you haven't approved? So when we talk about civility, Susan, it starts at home.
Thanks, Mr. Gamble. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Hi, Wayne Rivers again, 815 Cypress Court. I'd just like to say I don't envy the positions that you folks are in. I mean, you spend a God knows how much time, you know, here, behind the scenes. There's a lot going on, and there's probably a lot of us that wouldn't be able to put that much energy into what you folks do. So I want to recognize that. The other thing is, though, is obviously we didn't get what we wanted tonight, okay? But you didn't see us get up and storm out of here and turn our backs on you and rant and rave, okay? So let's just move forward. Let's work together. Let's find ways that we can cut costs. Let's challenge the department heads. And, you know, the guys two hills over, when they run into additional costs, they have more capital expenditure, they don't go out and charge Walmart more or Target more and things like that. They go to the department heads and they ask them to cut costs where they can, okay? There's always low-hanging fruit. And the thing is, you know, if we work together, we can find other ways to generate some revenue. Maybe we can roll back any tax increases and not have to even entertain anything for 2020. And the thing is you know, kids are graduating high school. Some of them are going off to college, and some of them are going to trade school, et cetera, et cetera. It's getting to the point where the kids that go off to college and trade school or serve in the military, they can't move back here if they choose to do so because it's becoming too expensive. And there aren't many starter homes in this township, okay? So let's think about that as well. Not only the people that are retired that can't afford to live here at some point. So again, let's all of us work together to generate some revenue and roll back some tax increases, okay? Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Wayne. Appreciate it very much.
Anyone else? Mr. Moyer.
No, I don't know. Understand you. The only question that makes any sense up there is him. You need another Moyer up there. But, up there.
There you go. You're that other Moyer.
I'll tell you what. My great-great-great-grandfather signed the Constitution of the United States.
That's a fun fact.
So it ain't nothing funny, but I'm telling you what he's saying to make sense, but there's no reason that you guys need more money in the budgets. Do you realize I owned the house since we were married, 60 years and 7 months. And the increase in the taxes, my taxes and social, my taxes and insurance for my property I have right now are almost $6,000 a year. Does that make sense? It's because of people like you want more money.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
I mean, I realize what I own is a little more than above average.
Rich Adner over in Berkeley Way. Just a couple questions. You mentioned something about considering selling DTMA to fund the pool and a rec center.
You don't need it.
DTMA is making money. They're doing what they're supposed to. They're being responsible. The idea of considering selling them to cover a want that's not a need, I don't understand.
Yeah, we're not doing it.
But even considering
it. No, we were just...
Then the idea of, you mentioned this building and its expense. This building's, maybe it was expensive, this whole facility, but it's a legitimate use of government money, taxpayer money. We need the offices for people to do the jobs. We don't need the huge expenditures on something else. This should be a private enterprise. If it's not done by private enterprise, the rec center and the pool, then obviously it's not good business. If you're going to lose less, but you're still losing a boatload of money, it's irresponsible. It's almost criminally irresponsible. Passing this along to the people that live around here, I think it's just an awful idea.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to address the board? Hearing none, I'll move for the adjournment of this meeting. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor, everyone? Those opposed, and then Karen's.
I know.
Take care.